Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means
again, tuned into, are you a liability? It's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from Hopper Woods, Michigan. On tonight, I'm asking all the listeners, as I always do, and especially for those that are dialing in and tuning in for the first time through different social media platforms around the world, if this is your first time listening in to this ministry platform, please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready so that you can follow along with this awesome man of God, none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. We'll be delivering God's word very shortly, so you will definitely need your Bibles, your pens, and paper to follow along. Remember, God's word said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. We always open up with prayer, and we're going to do the same thing on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners if you would touch and agree with me as we go into prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again realizing and knowing without a doubt that you are God alone. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. You are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we hear or how we feel. We thank you that you are in total control. We thank you that you are a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform in the lives of your people that have been faithful doers and not just hearers of your word. Heavenly Father, we come now asking in the name of Jesus that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work with you on earth will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So none of us have sinned. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works and it will never lose its power. We thank you that through Jesus Christ we can come to him and seek forgiveness of our sins and our transgressions in his name. And Father, we come now thanking you for your grace and your mercy. even your sufficient grace that you extend toward each one of us. We know we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted. I continue to lift up my cousin, Mary Ann King of Greensboro, North Carolina. I continue to ask that you would strengthen her heart, Lord, heal and strengthen her body, mind, and spirit as only you can in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we lift up Deacon Marvin Cox and his wife, Betty Cox, who suffered a stroke. She is now home from the hospital. So we continue to lift her up and Deacon Marvin Cox in the name of Jesus. We lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We lift up Brother Rob Mitchell's son, Robert, who had bleeding on the kidneys the other day. Now he has to go on dialysis. So we lift up his son in the name of Jesus. And all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, we don't have to send you anywhere, Heavenly Father, because we know that you're already there. You're healing, you're delivering, and you're setting your people free for your glory. We pray and lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight all over the land. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. And we continue to pray for the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem and Israel. Your word lets us know that we are to pray for them. So we do that constantly on this worldwide platform, that you will bless those countries right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would move by your spirit on tonight for your man of God. If there's any listener that's listening in for the first time on tonight, through the dialing in of the phones or through social media platforms around the world, we pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight, as it always does. That they will hear your word, and not only hear it, but they will receive this word on tonight. And they will open their own mouth to confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. They will be saved in Jesus' name, and then you will show them their God purpose in the earth, that you will get the glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in each one of us individually and the corporate body of believers in the name of Jesus. I continue to lift up my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, his family, and the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church family. We continue to pray for them and lift them up in the name of Jesus. And every faithful listener that faithfully tunes in to this worldwide ministry platform, whether they dial in by phone or whether they listen through social media platforms around the world, continue to bless them. You know who they are. You know where they are. You know what they stand in need of. So grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. Is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to a saying on tonight, knowledge is realizing that the street is one way, but wisdom is looking in both directions anyway. Now, that's powerful. I'm going to say that again. Tonight's spiritual food for thought. Knowledge is realizing that the street is one way, but wisdom is looking in both directions anyway. I always welcome all listeners and anyone else that may feel obligated or you want to contact me. I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note. I do not own the copyrights or rights to any musical songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. That being said, we're getting ready to go to our music break song. And because of what we are dealing with in the world, I'm going to say this before we go to the music. We see that the word of God we have a heat wave all over the world. We have a tension. Babies can't get formula that they need to survive. We have so many pandemics that's going on around the world. Not only within countries and other countries, wars within family members.
Ministries against ministries in the church. So God's word is being fulfilled each and every day. That's why he said the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So that's why I'm playing once again on tonight. And people ask me why I play this song so often, because it's needed. The words of God said, again, the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So that's why I'm playing once again on tonight. Pray for me. And then we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. He will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. And I want to say to him, before he comes forth, Overseer Jackson, I want to thank you for being my special guest on the first Thursday of July, helping me to celebrate my 9th anniversary as a radio host. And once again, we want to thank God that he's allowed Sister Betty Cox, Deacon Marvin Cox's wife, to be home now from the hospital. So we're going to continue to lift them up in prayer. Enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Yes, we all standing in the need of prayer. So that's why I play that song once again on tonight. Pray for me. So I'm excited now once again to be able to turn this mic over to none other than the capable hands of none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. I now yield the mic to you.
God bless you, everybody. I thank God for the privilege of being with you one more time. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what we went through, no matter what trial, no matter what tribulation. We're going to take a moment to just lift our hands and our voices and look to heaven and just tell him thank you. He kept us another day. I know what the old saints meant when they say, just another day that the Lord has kept me. He kept me with him, with my mind stayed on Jesus. In this day and time, you better have an anchor, and you better make sure that your anchor is holding. And that you can really lift and live on that solid rock, which is Jesus. You need a hope. You need a hope. You need a hope. You need a hope. You need something that's going to help you to make it through the storm. The old singers used to sing, there's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving. Not moving, but it has moved this old way. And the song says, if your soul is not anchored in Jesus, you will surely slip away. Slip away, slip away. You will surely slip away. You don't want to slip away. You want to be like Peter. When Peter was told to come, he was fine until he looked at the circumstances around him. He was fine until he listened to the wind. He was fine until he watched the lightning flash. He was fine until he felt the wind against his being. And suddenly He took his eyes off Jesus, like so many people have done today. He took his eyes off Jesus and began to sing. But Peter was no fool. He looked up and hollered, "Lord, save me." Ha! Glory to God.
Yes.
That's my premise tonight. Somebody needs to say, "Lord, save me." We've come to throw a lifeline out to you tonight. We've come to give you a lifeline. And we hope that what we say will be a blessing to you. Father, we thank you. We praise and we magnify. We glorify your name. We bless you. We bless you for all you've done. We bless you for how you've kept us. We bless you for watching over us. Bless you for keeping us, God. We just say thank you. You put your angels in charge over us, and God, they kept us all day long. We went out into the streets. We got in our cars. We got on subways, buses, and trains. And God, we went out and came home safe, God. Even in our homes, you protected us. You protected us. You protected us. Something happened here just a few minutes ago. And if I had not moved when you said move, this house would have caught on fire. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Hey, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for all you've done. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing. Now, Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way. Move on us. Less of me and more of you right now. We need you, God. We need you. Nobody needs to know who I am. Nobody needs to know nothing about me. We're all about you and your son, Jesus. Help us now to tell folks about the goodness of God. And, Father, help them to have an ear that they might hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Bind the hand of the devil that would come to stop this word. And God, help us in the name of Jesus. We pray and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got to forgive me for a minute, but you heard in the prayer that I was just telling God, thank you, because something happened here a few moments ago. Somebody was cooking and they forgot to turn off the stove. And the grease that was in the pan was growing hotter and hotter and hotter. And I was sitting on the couch, and the Holy Ghost said, get up and go into the kitchen. And when I went into the kitchen, I saw what could have been something that would have started a fire. So I tell God, thank you. See, you people who talk about the Holy Ghost doesn't speak, I got news for you. The Holy Ghost is real. And he
does
speak.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, glory.
I'm a witness.
God,
yeah.
If you have an ear to hear, and if you can put your ear to the mouth of God, you can hear what God says. Hey,
I know that's
God.
Right.
School. If you didn't know it, I'm from the old school. I'm from that school where they taught us to believe God and trust God. And that's where I'm coming from. A lot of people don't like that today. This new gospel that y'all got, it frightens me. I'm certainly glad that I was born when I was born and saved under, because they taught me how to walk with God. They taught me how to trust God. This weak mess that's out here today, I'm so glad I'm not a part of it. Glory to God. And so tonight, I tried to get away from this, and I was going somewhere else, but the Holy Ghost said, no, it's time for you to teach. It's time for you to tell folk, because too many of my saints don't know what you're getting ready to talk about. They don't know what you're getting ready to talk about. Don't know what you're getting ready to talk about. And so I'm going to open up some of, hopefully, the understanding of some folks. So I'm not preaching tonight. I'm teaching. That's my mission, to teach. And I'm teaching.
All right.
And I hope that something that I say will be a blessing to you. When I was coming up, they taught us certain concepts that helped us to live holy. They taught us that you had to be saved. They taught us that you had to be sanctified. Now, don't get scared of that term sanctified. We think most of the time that it goes along with Pentecostal churches, but the word sanctified means to be set apart. It means to be used by God. And they filled with the Holy Ghost, because once you were filled with the Holy Ghost, God gave you power to do the same things that Jesus did. That's what's one of the problems with the church today. Nobody is exercising the power. Not many people are exercising the power that God said he would give to us to do the wonderful things that he did. And so you wonder why folks ain't running to our churches. What are you doing? Why should they come? When Jesus walked into a city, the Bible said it was noised abroad. He didn't have any broadcasting system. But the fact that he was in town was enough to make people run to where he was. Why? Because he had demonstrated in the past power that he had. The Bible says that when they came, he had compassion upon them. And he touched and he healed everybody in his midst. So when miracles and signs and wonders came about, folks ran to him. When I came up in Philadelphia, there was a church called the Garden of Prayer, Church of God in Christ, Mother Dabney, and Bishop and Mother Dabney were the pastors. But when we came to church, we came with an expectation. We came looking to show up and show out. And when we got to church, we saw signs, wonders, and miracles. We saw people that we knew who were afflicted. We saw them throw away their canes. We saw them throw away their crutches. We saw them get up out of wheelchairs. Glory to God. We saw people healed and delivered. Glory to God. That thing helped us to hold on to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And so today I want to talk about something that we don't talk about anymore, and it's about the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Now, that word rapture is not a biblical term. It's not in the Bible. It's a term that we made to describe an event that is going to take place. Because the Bible says, and we'll read the scripture a little later on, that one day, and one day soon, Jesus is coming back again.
Oh,
and
yes.
Those that love him will be caught up to meet him in the air. And then there's going to be ushered in a period of called the Great Tribulation, a seven-year period. If you think woes and troubles are here now, you ain't seen nothing. And that's why tonight I want to get you prepared to get out of here. I want you to be prepared to catch the last flight out. And so tonight my message is redeem the time, redeem the time, redeem the time. And I'm going to read two scriptures, and I'm going to explain it as I go along. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 in the King James Version says, "See then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The phrase redeeming the times is also found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, when it says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Redeeming the time. In both of these passages, redeeming the time is related to wisdom and in how we walk. That is, in how we live. Redeeming the time. Next month, the Lord willing, I will have two birthdays. On August the 15th, I will be 65 years old I'll be 61 years old in Christ. And then on the 31st of August, I will be 76 years in life. As I grow older, I realize that I've got more time behind me than I had ahead of me. And so that alone is enough to make me mindful of the fact that one day either I'm going to leave here in the rapture or I'm going to leave here in death. One way, but you're leaving here. The old folks used to say, you can be assured that there are two places that you will go to when you leave here, heaven or hell. And just as sure as Fatback and Greasy, you ain't going to miss both of them. You're going somewhere. Now the Catholics have something that they say is a place called purgatory. That's a place where they say that if you're not good enough to go to heaven, you have to stay there for a few years. And if you're not bad enough to go to hell, you go there because you might get yourself together to go to heaven. That is a foolish concept that was delivered to the saints by a pope who wanted to make some money. Either you have Christ or you don't.
I know that's right.
way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let me put a pin in there before I go any further. This week, and important that, and before I get into the thing, this is why it's important that you do what you do for Christ now, because Jesus said the night is coming when no man can work. Dark times are coming. The Bible says peerless times are coming. We'll talk about that. And so, as an older person, I know what older people meant now when I hear them say, if I only knew then what I know now. And somebody else said, it's too bad that youth is wasted on the young. I didn't understand that until now. When I look at how our youth are living and I remember what I did as a youth, it's too bad that youth is wasted on the young, because now that I'm older, I wish I was able to do what I once could do. These are things that you think about in your latter years. Job said that life, man, is of a few days, that those days are full of trouble. Solomon picked up his pen and he turned around in the book of Ecclesiastes and said, everything is a time and everything is a season, a time to be born and a time to die. You're getting out of here one way or another. You're getting out of here. And so you might say, Pastor, why are you talking about leaving here? Because they told me that I was a sojourner here. A sojourner means was you were just traveling through. You didn't come here to stay. And a lot of us don't realize that one day you got to get out of here. We used to sing a song that said, one glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
Yes, sir.
We used to sing another song that said, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. The late, great Alice Bradford picked up a song and said, I'm too close to heaven.
Turn around.
Turn around. I'm too close. I'm too close to turn back into a world of sin. I'm too close. Why? Because I realize that one day soon, Jesus is coming back again, and he's coming back for a church that has no spot or wrinkle, but a church that is ready to go back with him. In 1 Corinthians, and now we're going to the message, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 58, this is what God says. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the incorruption. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? What you saying? Jesus told us that one day, he said one day soon, he said, you know not the day nor the hour, because the apostles asked him, when are you going to establish your kingdom? When are you going to take over? When are you going to change things? And Jesus looked at him and said, it's not for you to know. Those times are put into the mind of God, and God will tell me when it's time to go and to do what has to be done. He said, but mind the fact that you get yourself together so that when I do come, you're ready to go back with me. And he began to tell them, and the apostle tells us, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to show something that's going to take the world by storm. The world is not going to know how to deal with this. because I'm going to make something happen that's going to cause their ears to tingle. I'm going to make something happen that's going to turn them upside down. He said, because one day and one day soon, I'm going to tell Gabriel, blow the trumpet in Zion. And when you blow the trumpet, I'm going to tell the angels to go forth and to gather up those that are my jewels. And he turned around and said, something unusual is going to happen. He said, the dead, your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, those who knew Christ, those who had a hope in Christ and who died are going to get up out of that grave and
yes,
going to have a body just like the body that Jesus had when he got up out of his grave. And that body is going to be caught up in the air. And not only is that going to happen, but you and I, who have a hope in Christ and who are living for God, are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to drop the clothes that we have, and we're going to just disappear. There's going to be millions of folks out of here. And the world is going to be turned upside down, wondering where we went. Women that are pregnant are going to be in a catastrophic state because they're not going to know where their child is. Jesus is taking that unborn baby back with him. And it won't be a miscarriage. The fact is, the child will be gone. You might be driving in a car with somebody who is saved. And if you're not saved, when Jesus comes back, that person that was driving is gone. And that car is going to crash, and you're going to crash while you're in it. If you're in an airplane and the pilot is saved and the co-pilot is saved, guess what? The plane is coming down. Can you imagine the catastrophes that are going to take place on the highways, on the seas, and in the air? And the world is going to be confounded as to what went wrong, what's going on, where did these people disappear to? But they've gone on to be with Jesus. They've gone on to be with Jesus. The Bible says we ought to contend for the faith that was once delivered for the saints. And this is what they once taught us. I saw on Facebook, and I keep telling you, you got to be careful what you listen to or what you read on Facebook. Everybody is not a theologian. Everybody does not have a word from God. Everybody you can't listen to.
That's right.
I put one day that I said, one day and one day soon, Jesus is coming back. The Bible said, Jesus is coming back again. And somebody who is very astute hit me back and said, why are you teaching that lie? There's no such thing as the rapture. Nothing like that will ever happen. And I turned around and said, Lord, help him. Because I know what the book says.
Yes, sir.
And I know that you're coming back again. And I said to myself, I wonder how he'll feel when he's left behind. If any of you have never seen the movie Left Behind, you need to see it. Go Google it. Left Behind. Google it. Please go Google it. Because I promise you that if you ever look at the movie, you will never be the same again. There was another movie the other evening I was watching, and I've forgotten the name of the movie, but it was a black version of that Left Behind. And I was particularly struck by the people in the church. It was the people in the church who were hooked up into so much mess. One of the pastors didn't believe what he was preaching. He didn't believe about the rapture. He found himself like one of Eli's sons, hooked up with all the various women in the church, found himself doing a whole lot of things that were ungodly and yet preaching on Sunday. But one day while they were preaching the word of God, the Bible says that the rapture took place and folks were snatched out of the church and he was left along with a few other folks that were playing church. And they lost their minds in the church because they suddenly realized that the thing that they have been talking about was a reality.
Oh, yes.
Please don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. You see, the thing that gets me now is, and I've got to say this. The Bible said in the last days, perilous and dangerous times would come. Don't you see the times in which you live are very much like what Jesus said?
Oh,
I watched on television this morning. I saw the burning fires in California. I saw the fires in England. I saw the fires in Canada. I saw the fires in Australia. The fires that were raging out of control because of climate change. The Bible says the earth groans because of the corruption that's in the world. Inflation has hit every nation, not only in the United States. You can't scream at Biden. He can't do anything because God has caused things to happen. The world
that's
is
right.
coming. Inflation is here. But you can ride out some storms that other folks can't ride out. I told people before they don't want to pay tithes and they talk about not paying offerings. But I got news for you. God's got the greatest blessing plan in the world. He told you that if you would give me just one-tenth of what I've given you, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I'll make sure you eat when other people don't eat. I'll make sure you pay your bills when others can't pay their bills. I'll make sure you got clothes to wear. I'll make sure that whatever you need, I can give it to you if you just do what I say. But inflation is killing folks. My father used to run around and looking for gas, got mad because he couldn't find gas for 24 cents. If he saw 26 cents, he got mad and would drive around looking for gas. And I wonder what he would think today when he sees the gas is over $4. God told you that these days would come. Trouble in the land tonight at 8 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, while we're sitting here talking, they're going to be talking about what Trump did on January 6th. We've never seen anybody try to have a revolution in this country. God is trying to show you, look around and redeem the time. Look at the things that are happening around you because I'm trying to warn you, I'm coming back again. The Bible said when they taught us this, we checked ourselves, put ourselves in check. The things that we used to sing a song, if you say, Lord, cleanse me. Search me, Lord, search me. If you find anything that isn't right, just cleanse me. Search me, Lord. Search me. And that's what many of us ought to be crying out tonight. Lord, search me. If there's anything that's not right, search me. I want to get out of here when you come. I don't want to stay back here. I don't want to be in the situation where I'll have to take the mark of the 666 if I want to make it. And if you take the mark, you'll be damned forever. You don't want to live under that type of a circumstance. You got to know the times. You got to be like the tribe of Issachar. They knew the times in which they lived. You better look around and see what's happening. What did God say? Look at the book. Look at the book. He told you, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come. They'll be giving in marriage. And he didn't tell you what kind of marriage, but they got all kinds of marriages now. Man and woman, woman and woman, man and man. They're doing everything. God said it'd be evil time. He said children would be disobedient to parents. I've never seen a time when children will cuss out a parent or when children will disrespect the parent by the way they talk to them. Not in my day. You didn't do that.
I know that's right.
But today you can say anything and do anything. Why? Because the parents are trying to be friends instead of being parents. Bible said that our children would be weaker but wiser. They're so technologically wise, but they're so weak when it comes to the gospel of Christ because you didn't teach them. Caught up in drugs and all the other stuff that's out here. Why? Because you didn't take them to church. You didn't tell them about the glory of God. You didn't show them, and then you didn't live it in front of them. You see, when you teach like this, folks don't want to be bothered, but you, and I understand. That's why I'm not invited places, but I don't care. Every time God gets in, tell the truth, because the Bible says, cry loud and spare not. Show my people their transgression. The other day, and I'm almost through, the other day, I was taken out to a power lunch, and a power lunch is a lunch when you go out with people who wield power. And I know people in Washington who wield power, executives in high orders. When you go to lunch, when I go to lunch with them, thank God I don't have to pay it. Lunch can range from anywhere to $300 to $600. If they take you to dinner, it's about $1,000. If they got four people, you're going to spend about $1,000 at the dinners I go to. We don't go to Fridays. We don't go to Olive Garden. It's a power dinner. The Bible said God will hook you up with powerful people if you want.
Yes, he did.
Right. And I know that so because he's done it all throughout my lifetime. But we were sitting there, and we were having lunch, and we were laughing and joking. We were talking about some things. And suddenly at the end of the lunch, God created an opportunity for me to witness to one who was a Jew, one who was a Christian, and one who was not saved.
Wow.
And a Jew asked me, he said, Joe, I can ask you, because I know you'll tell me the truth. He said, we're almost the same age, and do you ever think about death? I said, yes. He said, do you know really what's on the other side? I said, yes. He said, can you tell me what's on the other side? And I almost froze. Because I said to myself, should I be spiritually correct or politically correct? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you confess me, before sinners, I'll confess you before my Father and the holy angel. But if you don't confess me, I can't confess you.
That's right.
That's why I told you, you got to know the word, baby. You got to read the word. You got to know the word because the Holy Ghost will bring things back to your remembrance. And when I began to speak, he said, don't worry about what you'll say. Let me talk through you. And when I opened my mouth, I heard myself say, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And I told him, yes, there's a heaven and there's a hell. We were all damned to go to hell. But one day Jesus died, and he rose again. And he told us that he loved us so much that he took the penalty for our sin. And if we would just open our mouths and say, forgive me, and accept
yeah.
him as our personal Savior, we would be saved, and we would not go to hell, but we would go to heaven. And I looked at him and I said, that's why I keep talking to you about the Messiah. I talk to you about the messianic hope because he died for you. And he looked at me and he said, well, I guess if you say it, he said, oh, well, one other question. What about my good works? Don't my good works count? And the Spirit of the Lord had me say, works don't mean anything because the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't attain salvation through works. We attain faith through the grace of God. And he got quiet. The whole table got quiet. And he looked at me and he said, wow. And I guess Jews and Islam, the Islamic community and Buddhists and all the others are really in trouble. We ain't going to make it. I said, oh, stop. I said, did you stop and realize that it was a Jew who died?
Yes, sir.
Jew died so that you and every other Gentile, that every Jew and Gentile could be saved. It doesn't have to be that way. It will only be that way if you don't confess him. And the Holy Ghost said, say no more. And he turned around and said, because the scripture says, some water, some plant. But I'll give thee. All I needed you to do was just say a word. And as you say a word, I'll do what has to be done. I'll deal with him in the midnight hour. I'll deal with him when he's in a lonely period by himself. I'll deal with him and put back in his mind the things that you said. You got relatives. You got sisters. You got brothers. You got uncles and aunts. You got neighbors that are dying and will go and see, and if you don't say something to them.
I know that's right.
The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the labors are few. And God doesn't care who the labors are. All of y'all are the fighting women who are preaching, sit down. Bible said there's neither male nor female in him. And if he needs somebody to speak a word, are you telling me that a woman preacher who preaches somebody out of sin, that person is not saved? Sit down. Speak a word. Whatever God called you to do, you do it. Regardless of what people are saying, do what God called you to do in this last day and in this last hour. God needs somebody. You got to be like the prophet. When God said, who will go? And the prophet said, Lord, you got to be in a position because we want to get out of here. Andre Crouch said, it won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. It won't be long. The question is, are you ready to catch the last flight out? Notice what he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We won't all die, but we shall be changed in a moment. Do you know how quick a twinkling of an eye is? It's so fast that you won't even recognize it. You be talking to me and I'll be gone. And you'll wonder where I am. I told people that when that happens, I hope that when if you dare to call my telephone, all I want you to be able to do is get the answering service. I don't want to be here to answer it. I don't want to be here. If I pick up the phone after the rapture has come, you know something was wrong in my life. I want to get out of here. That's why the Bible says we purify ourselves. We purify ourselves. We do everything we can to walk uprightly before him. We do everything we can to make sure it is well with our soul.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to be like the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible says when Lazarus died, he was taken into the bosom of Abraham. In other words, he went into paradise. But when the rich man died, the Bible said he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment in the flames, he was in hell. You don't want to suffer his fate. You want to be like Peter tonight. If you find yourself sinking in sin, we've thrown out a lifeline to you. Won't you grab it? Won't you grab it?
And yes, let us.
I'm telling you now, it won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. And you know not the day nor the hour. That's why the Bible tells us to teach us to number our days. You don't know where death is. Did those folks, those kids know that death was coming to them on the last day of school? Did those people at the supermarket know that death was coming to them because they wanted to get a soda or they wanted to go buy some eggs? We don't know anymore where death is. But you want to be ready.
Yes, sir.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready. In closing, there's an old song that said, "Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. I'm home at last, cares are past, ever to rejoice." I want to see Jesus, and I want to see him in peace.
Yes,
I want to see him in peace. Any way that you can do that is to accept him as your personal savior. Do you know how much God loves you? He let his son die for you. He let his son be spit upon for you. He let his son's back be torn apart for you. He let his son arms be impaled with nails. He let them drive nails into his ankles. My God, all because he loved you. He loved you. He loved you. He loved you. Tina Turner asked the question, what's love got to do with everything, Tina? For the Bible said God so loved the world
that he gave
his son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said it was not his will but that any man should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of who Jesus is. Please, please, please. You got me sounding like James Brown. Please, learn how to get a hold of it before it's too late. Get a hold of it before it's too late. Get a hold of it before it's too late. We're getting out of here, folks. We're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. Jesus is on his way back. Look
back. Oh, yes.
Read Matthew 24. Go to St. Jude. Look at 2 Timothy, the third chapter. My God, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, will tell you in the first few verses, look at the world, and the kind of world that's going to be here in the last days. Look at the world. Look at the world. Look at the world. And when you look at it, here let me read this and I'm through. He said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. I ain't never seen so many ungrateful people in my life. Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. They'll lie on everybody. Without self-control, they'll do anything. Brutal, they'll kill you at a moment's notice. And they're not lovers of good. They love evil. The Bible says they're treacherous. They're rash. They're conceited. They're lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Some have a form of godliness. They're in the church, but they deny its power. And the Bible says, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who weren't, well, I don't even want to go in there, because they're now going to talk about silly women. And I said I was going to finish. But I am going to read it. He said, read it. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and again control over and gain control over gullible women. Who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil adversities. The Bible calls them, if you look at the King James Version, it says, this thing said gullible, but the Bible says in King James, silly women. Women who will tell you, I got my needs. I got to take care of my needs. I'm sexual. I got to take care of my needs. And you having babies here and there for everybody that won't even put a ring on your finger. The Bible calls you a silly woman. You're living. in those times.
Oh, yes.
And the Bible said, have nothing to do with none of these folks. All you can do is tell them the truth and go about your business. God, we thank you.
I mean,
on the people. We ask you to bless the people. We ask you to open up their eyes and their understanding. And God, we ask you to help them to make the right decision. Somebody has to make a decision today. And I need you in the midnight hour to mess with their heads. Don't let them sleep. Don't let them sleep. You did that to me. Don't let them sleep. Oh, God, wake them up in the early morning hours and make them conscious of their sin to the point, Father, they'll come to you and say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me of my transgression. I accept Jesus. Do what needs to be done in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All right. There you go.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Overseer Jackson, I just want to touch and agree with the word on tonight. God's word is true. He said it will not go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that he set out for it to do. And I love how you were faithful and obedient to the Holy Spirit when those guys were talking to you at the power dinner, when he brought those questions to you. Like the word of God says, and it's the truth, if you are ashamed before me, before men, that Jesus said, I will be ashamed to own you before my Father which is in heaven. So we have to learn how to speak with holy boldness, what thus said the Lord. Don't matter what they, he said, don't look at their faces. If you have to turn your head, say what God said to them, but you ain't got to look in their face, just say what God told you to say to them so that they would have an opportunity to be saved in Jesus' name. So it won't be the blood of their blood won't be on your hands because you did not be obedient to the word of God and tell them what God told you to tell them while you had a chance. So right now, we thank God for you, Overseer Jackson, for this powerful true word on tonight. It's later than you think, and it really is. All we got to do is look at the times, look at the news, watch the news. The word of God is true. It's being fulfilled each and every day. So right now, the phone lines are open. Anyone to have words of encouragement for Overseer Joseph E. Jackson right now, or if you have a question pertaining to tonight's message, the phone lines are open now. Anyone? I know I was not the only one that received this word on tonight.
Amen on that, Brother James. Amen. That was a powerful word, Overseer Jackson. That was a mighty word. You gave us a whole lot to think about tonight. We got a lot to think about tonight. Boy, you should see my notebook. I got a page full.
I know that's right. Amen.
Thank you for that word. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Gwen. You're always an inspiration to us. Thank you so much. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Don't be ashamed to be a witness for the Lord. If you receive this word, let us know. If you enjoyed the word,
yes.
It was a blessing to you.
Yes, that was a good sermon tonight. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad. Be encouraged.
That's my cousin, Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina, Overseer Jackson.
All right. Be encouraged.
Amen. Overseer Jackson, while I have her on the line, I need you to pray. You don't need to know what the problem is. God will reveal it to you. While we have her on the line, Overseer Jackson, I'm asking you if you would say a special prayer for my cousin Mary Ann King.
Mary Ann is the name?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Hey, glory to God. We honor you and we praise and magnify you right now. I don't know what the situation is, but you do. And I'm asking you now, in the name of Jesus, to work it out for her right now, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Do what needs to be done. Whatever the circumstance is, God, I put it in your hands right now. I bring her to you, and I say to you, God, have move on her in a mighty way. I heard you say, Father, you would do some things that would make people's ears tingle. I need you, Father, to work a work like never before. I need you to prove yourself even to her and to everybody around her. And when you do this thing, they'll be
able to say it was the Lord's doing. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we ask you, God, in Jesus' name, to do what needs to be done. You know.
Yeah.
How it needs to turn out. I'm just gonna say like the old lady said, fix it, Jesus, fix it. And if you fix it, it will be fixed. We don't have to come back and ask you to do it because you will have done it the right way the first time. Do it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much,
you.
Overseer Jackson. Thank you so much. I know I'll
thank
preach
you,
it there
thank
and
you,
I received that
you.
Word. I know my cousin Mary Ann received it too. We want to continue to lift up my sister. Amen, Sister Marianne, that was for you. We want to continue to lift up our sister in Christ who's on the line right now, one of my church members, Sister Tara Doss. She's still having issues with her voice, so she cannot speak, but she has dialed in. And I know that she wanted to say something, but we know that she received this word on tonight, and this word was for her as well. So we know that you are healed, Sister Tara, in the name of Jesus. So we continue to ask all listeners, continue to encourage one another in God's word. Continue to pray for one another. The word of God says the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And through it all, God is going to be glorified. We thank you for tuning in on tonight. And once again, Overseer Jackson, thank you for that powerful, much needed word for such a time as this that we're living in. The word of God is true. God cannot lie, cannot fail nor change. His word is true. We thank you for that powerful word on tonight. So as I always say to the listeners, know that I love you, but guess what? Know that God loves you even more. So on this coming Saturday night, Deacon Marvin Cox, once again, his wife is now home from the hospital. She suffered a stroke, but she's home now from the hospital, and he will be delivering God's word on this coming Saturday night, Deacon Marvin Cox. So you want to tune in and be blessed by him as well. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Good night.